Recycling is mandatory in Wisconsin, but beyond that, recycling our cans, bottles, plastics, and cardboards have become a way of life for many residents in western Wisconsin and the state as a whole. It's almost second nature. But there is a huge amount of infrastructure and money that goes into recycling that most of us never even think about, never see in our daily lives. And right now, lawmakers in Madison are looking to adjust that infrastructure by passing Governor Scott Walker's recommendation to cut state aids going to local recycling programs by $4 million in 2016. But can a $4 million cut spread statewide really cause that much pain to local recycling efforts? To find out, we'll speak with two recycling program experts in this hour and find out during the West Side. I'm Rich Kramer. Thanks for joining us this soggy early summer morning. I'd like to introduce my guests. First, joining us in studio, Amanda Heffley. She is the recycling coordinator for Eau Claire County and recycling specialist for Dunn County. We'll get into what those differences are in just a bit. Amanda Heffley, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for allowing me to be here today.
It's our pleasure. And next, joining us by phone from, I would imagine it's Wausau or nearby, Melissa Johnson is the president of the Associated Recyclers of Wisconsin, and she's the director of Marathon County Solid Waste. So we know she's in Marathon County. Melissa Johnson, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you very much. It's my pleasure to be with you. And my office is actually in Ringgold, Wisconsin,
Ringgold,
which is about 12 miles west of or east of Wausau. So.
Very good. And these thunderstorms are heading your way, so we might hear some exciting background noise, I guess.
We hope that doesn't happen.
Yeah. Well, also, listeners, we want you to call in and join the conversation. The number is 1-800-228-5615. That's a highlight of this show is when we hear from you, the listener. What do you think about recycling or cuts to recycling aids? Do you recycle? Are you an avid recycler? Do you choose not to for whatever reason? Let us know. Also, we've got two people that really know their stuff in this field, so give us a call and ask them a question. 800-228-5615. I also have to mention that we invited the Department of Natural Resources to join us for this program today, and they declined. So, first of all, we're talking about recycling subsidies. And Melissa Johnson, I'll start with you. Where does this money come from, and what is its most basic goal?
Well, let's back up just a minute. Let's not call it subsidies. The real term is cost sharing, and it was a promise that was made back in the 90s when the recycling law was passed, that there would be a fee charged at landfills for landfill disposal. Let's put a fee on something we really don't like, and that's landfills, and then use that money, and it's called the recycling fee, and then use that money to support building the local infrastructure and offsetting the costs of providing effective recycling programs at the local level. So it started out, it was, I think, 50 cents back in the 90s. Now it is $7 a ton. And so for a municipality, whether you're Eau Claire or Wausau, Stevens Point or Madison, for anybody who puts waste in landfills, a $7 a ton fee is assessed at the landfill. The landfills then take that money, send it to Madison, and it goes into the environmental management account. Its original intent was to support recycling and waste reduction endeavors in the state of Wisconsin.
All right. There's the primer. Now, I want to go back a little bit in time as far as state budgets are concerned. Governor Walker caught a lot of heat in his first state budget as governor, which would have been 2011-2013 budget, I believe, back in that first budget. He proposed drastic measures for recycling programs, including eliminating the recycling mandate, which would have been unprecedented, along with cutting all states' monies going to local governments to pay for that recycling. So, Amanda Heffley, I was just wondering, I'm not sure if you were in this position at that time, but that must have been quite a shock. I mean, we're kind of comparing everything to that because that's totally cutting.
Yeah, I was not in this position at this time. I was down in southern Illinois, and it was a huge shock to us down there to hear that Wisconsin was going to be cutting, maybe mandating, all the recycling fees. It was pretty sad. I thought, oh, I'm glad I'm out of Wisconsin for now, but I got to get back there to make a difference.
Melissa Johnson, what would that have done to recycling in the state of Wisconsin?
Thankfully, we didn't find out.
Right.
I mean, there was
a lot of pressure.
There was a lot of pressure, and it was an interesting time. My colleagues and I in leadership in recycling and waste reduction in Wisconsin spent a lot of time talking to folks in Madison, as well as citizens from across the state. People like to recycle, and that's a great thing because we all know it uses you use less resources to make something new from a recycled product. But we also have, you know, we have companies in Wisconsin that rely on recyclables like paper mills and foundries. And so this would have been a tragedy of unknown proportions. I don't want to overstate that. But imagine communities just going, okay, I don't have to send this 3,000, 4,000, 5,000 ton of recyclables to a recycler. I can send it to the landfill. You know, I run a landfill and we can manage waste. But once it's in the ground, that resource is many ways lost forever.
Well, in comparison to that, maybe this, in comparison to that total cut, that total elimination of the mandate for recycling, Governor Walker in this budget for this is 2015 through 2017 fiscal years, he's proposing reducing recycling funds to $15 million statewide. That's a $4 million cut down from $32 million. This is compared over the past 5 years.
Correct.
So we're looking at 50, almost 60% reduction in the 5 years. Full legislature still has some work to do on this budget. It is not final yet, but it sure looks like it's going to stay that way. But this cut is only for 1 year, isn't that right, Melissa Johnson?
Yes, this is a $4 million cut for 2016. It will be restored back to $19 million in 2019. And you alluded to something very important, is that let's go back to 2008. And in 2008, the distribution of money back to local jurisdictions called responsible units of recycling was just shy of $30 million. That's the amount of money that was sent to local units of government for their effective recycling programs. Then in the 2000, there was a 40% reduction shortly after that, and then that reduction stayed in 2011, 2012 biennial budget. So that was memorialized in that budget, so that 40% cut, and now we've got an additional 20% cut. At the same time, we continue to collect between $33 and $36 million. We, landfills, collect that much money annually. So the amount of money has remained the same that we collect, in other words, the funding source, yet the money to these local units of government has diminished over time.
So, Amanda Heffley, what does that do to a program like Eau Claire County's or Dunn County's? I mean, will this 4%, just looking at this $4 million statewide, what kind of an impact does that have on what you do?
It's pretty significant. In the past, my position as a recycling coordinator, recycling specialist, has been a full-time position. But due to that cut, municipalities can't afford to have an educator on full-time. So it's slowly dwindled to a part-time position. But here specifically in Eau Claire, we're anticipating about $110,000 reduction in state grants, state fees to our county. And what that means is if we don't raise our recycling fee that we get from our residents every year, we have to suspend some of our programs, including our yard waste program, our brush disposal program, our clean sweep events. We won't be able to buy new recycling roll-off containers. They're 23 years old. They're rusting through, but we can't afford to buy more new next year and the year after because we need to make up this deficit.
And as far as fees for residents, say for Eau Claire County, do we know yet what that might mean for them as far as increases?
Right now we're talking about keeping them the same because this is only supposed to be for a year, for the one budget cycle.
So it's something the city might be able to swallow.
Maybe. We are working with the city of Eau Claire to see if they can't help us out and keep the brush disposal program open or maybe some yard waste programs. We're also looking at private partnerships to see if they can't help us out. And we're looking into other grants, especially for Clean Sweep, because residents really like to utilize that program.
Yeah, and the Clean Sweep is for hazardous materials too, right?
That is correct.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We've got a caller on the line, and right now we're going to go to William. William, thanks so much for calling in. You've been patient. What's on your mind?
Well, good morning. I'm the Polk County Board Chairman up here, and we have a great recycling program in Polk County, and Amanda is familiar with that. She's been up here a couple times for our Earth Day events and done some other outreach things, including a video on recycling in Polk County. But the thing I wanted to bring up, we've made great strides since the mid-90s when recycling laws came into effect. In residential recycling, I think we do a really good job in western Wisconsin on that. But one of the big issues I think we have is event recycling and recycling opportunities in public parks and village parks and those sorts of things. And we had a really good example of up in Frederick. It was just Frederick Family Days last weekend, and we have some volunteers in town. And the village of Frederick has 14 or more permanent recycling containers next to trash cans in town, and we get from the Polk County Recycling Center another 20 or so portable recycling bins. We put them out for the street dance and in town, and the volunteers over the weekend, we got about 40 contractor-sized garbage bags of aluminum cans and plastic bottles, basically, from the event, so that's the volume that we kept out of landfills with one village event. But the problem is there aren't very many community events that go to that kind of effort to do that sort of recycling. And pretty much all you see are trash cans. Mm-hmm. And we all know that the best practice for recycling is to have a recycling container next to every trash can. And you drive around, you look at Seltzer or the gas stations, the convenience stores around here, all you see are trash cans. You go to most village parks and most of the smaller towns, all you see are trash cans. An example of that would be Balsam Lake, Wisconsin. They just spent a modest amount of money buying some very nice-looking trash cans that sit around the village, but there's no recycling opportunity sitting right next to them. So that all becomes landfill, and that's all been part of the problem. So that's kind of the issue I wanted to bring up. Maybe the guests could comment on that a little bit, but that's certainly an area we really need to work on. I know the Polk County parks, for the most part, have recycling containers available. City of St. Croix Falls has some out, but beyond that, it's pretty scarce up here. I think City of Amory has some recycling in their parks, but not anywhere near the amount, the percentage of trash cans that have a recycling container sitting next to them. So that's the comment I have, and appreciate listening to what the guest would comment on that. So thank you.
Thank you, William. I appreciate it very much. Reminder to other caller or listeners, you can call in 800-228-5615. That number again is 800-228-5615. Amanda Heffley, I'm interested to hear your take first. There's a lot of events that happen in Eau Claire. In the county, we just had a giant music festival with probably a lot of people drinking some beers. How big of an issue is event recycling, and is it costly to try to stay on top of that?
It is a little costly to stay on top of that. People who run these large events have to not only contract for the garbage, now they have to think about, oh, another container. And so thankfully here in Eau Claire County, we have been able to get it on the conditional use permit that they have to have recycling at these large events.
Wow.
So the event that we just had, the Blue Ox Festival, that was their first event, and it was their first time recycling, and they did fairly well. And I also work with the organizers to do Country Jam and all those around the city. But there's smaller events, too, that make an impact, graduation parties, weddings, that they don't recycle, and that stuff is going to the landfill. And a lot of the stuff doesn't decompose, and I mean, it's cheaper to make materials out of recycled materials instead of constantly getting new.
Melissa Johnson, I'm curious to get your thoughts on this event recycling. It's interesting, when I'm at an event or anywhere and I've only got the option of a garbage can, I feel a little lost.
I feel the same way. I don't know how often I've walked around with an empty soda bottle or water bottle and carried it back to my car and took it home to recycle it. event recycling is, or away from home recycling, is a significant issue in the state of Wisconsin. We are required to have, as Amanda said, if you're contracting for garbage services, you need, in providing that service to the public, you have to have recycling services. But it does take someone following up on it, like Amanda and all the good work she's done in western Wisconsin, and not every community has that. Associated Recyclers of Wisconsin has an advisory committee called Public Place Recycling, and we're trying to work on some best management practices because, again, event large or small, if you don't have recycling services, many people will opt for the garbage. It ends up in a landfill. And it's like when I tell the little children when they come out for tours of the landfill, you know, when we throw this plastic bottle in the landfill, it will never become a warm fleece blanket. It will never become a warm fleece, you know, vest or jacket. It's just going to stay in the landfill. And the children are like, oh, that's really bad. And of course it is. But if there aren't options, that's what people do.
Number to call in is 1-800-228-5615. We're talking about recycling in Wisconsin and a proposed $4 million cut to state recycling aids going to local governments for their respective recycling programs. I'm joined by Amanda Heffley. She is the recycling coordinator and recycling specialist for Eau Claire and Dunn counties, respectively. And Melissa Johnson joins us on the phone. She is president of the Associated Recyclers of Wisconsin and director of Marathon County Solid Waste. We're going to take our first break, but when we return, we'll have much more on this discussion and on this topic. And we'd love to take more calls. Number is 800-228-5615. This is the West Side.
Support for WPR comes from Isthmus Paddle and Portage. Paddle on Lake Mendota, portage across the Capitol Square, and paddle on Lake Monona. Saturday, July 18th. Registration information at paddleandportage.com.
The Chippewa Valley Museum holds its 23rd annual Independence Day celebration Saturday, July 4th. Activities include pony rides, cakewalks, carnival games, live entertainment, and much more. Details by phone or by visiting the museum website, cvmuseum.com.
I'm Rich Kramer. You're listening to The West Side on Wisconsin Public Radio. Thanks for joining us. Recycling, it's something that we're mandated to do in the state of Wisconsin, and there are funds set aside at the state level that go to local governments to help promote that and to facilitate that. But right now there is a proposed $4 million cut to those state recycling aids going to local governments. We're talking about it with Melissa Johnson. She's president of the Associated Recyclers of Wisconsin, and we're also joined by Amanda Heffley, excuse me. She's a recycling coordinator for Eau Claire County and recycling specialist for Dunn County. 800-228-5615 is the number. I want to go back, Amanda Heffley, to something you mentioned earlier, that if this cut were to go through, you might have to get rid of yard waste or kind of recycling. Why that? I'm wondering if there's anything that's more ripe for cuts. Something is more likely to be the first to go if the money dwindles at the state level.
That's a great question. We've decided to do these cuts, or not really cuts, but suspensions in the program,
yeah,
because the state still mandates that we have to have recycling. We have to do curbside, and if you have a rural population, you have to have a drop-off.
That mandate, though, is that just for the aluminum, or is it for yard waste, too?
There is a ban on yard waste to landfills, mm-hmm, but we're not mandated to have a program to pick that up.
Hmm.
It's one of those things. And so we have to continue offering curbside and our drop-off services. And so the reduction in state grant that normally covers that, we now have to find money to shift to cover that those programs instead. And we picked yard waste because we did do a pilot program last year on that. And it did cost a fair amount of money. However, since it was still just a pilot program, we figured, you know, it hasn't been in the county more than 1 year. That's something we can easily take that chunk of money and save it instead of trying to figure out a new program.
Melissa Johnson, looking into other communities around the state, do you see that have they expanded to include the yard waste, and would that be the place that most of them cut? And does it matter, I guess, between large and small communities?
And you do see a difference between large and small communities. Of course, the smaller communities can, you know, get by with just a drop-off, and it may be open once a week.
Yeah.
They can pare back that maybe to twice a month instead of, you know, four times a month and look at managing those costs. Larger communities, of course, you know, population 25, 35, 45, 50,000 people, you have to manage those materials on a weekly basis. So large communities are really going to be faced with trying to figure out how to make sure those materials are collected and managed and properly. Yard waste sites are, some communities have them, some communities do not. Many of the rural communities do not, or even the sort of little bit outer urban areas do not have the yard waste sites. So, like in my area, Wausau has one, which makes sense for a very large urban area. Where else would they manage their mm-hmm. yard waste? So
right.
I think communities are going to be making decisions for 2016 based on what they're seeing locally. Maybe they'll cut back on library hours, or maybe they'll cut back on a summer program just to ensure that they can manage this cut that's going to happen in 2016.
Governor Walker's spokeswoman, Laurel Patrick, said that this is a one-time reduction to, quote, shore up a dwindling state environmental account. What do you say to that, Melissa Johnson?
Well, that's an interesting comment. The dwindling environmental management fund has been dwindling for a number of years, not because of the money going to responsible units of recycling or the money going to DNR to manage the recycling program or to Solid and Hazardous Waste Education Center of UW Extension, but because money has been diverted from the Environmental Management Fund for a number of years, as many as 15 years. For non-waste reduction, non-recycling purposes. For instance, in 2016, $4.8 million is being diverted to manage general debt service, some of that general debt service relating back to the 70s and 80s when grants were given to local municipalities to upgrade wastewater treatment plants to meet new environmental standards. So you have an environmental management fund. It is being diverted to general purpose revenue and general debt service and not being used for the original intended purpose.
And where else did the money go? I understand that part of it is going to economic development?
Yes, over the last two budget cycles, I believe, too, and I could be wrong, but I believe it's the last two budget cycles, a significant number amount of money, and I don't have that exact amount, I thought it was somewhere around $20 million, was going to WEDC, and of course that group, of course, is not without its controversy and a little uncertainty as to exactly where that money was spent. So,
sure.
You know, it has been diverted to many different places. It's been diverted to general purpose revenue to pay, you know, for roads or prisons or many other things. And again, this is not a Republican intent to divert.
Mm-hmm.
Democrats have done it in the past as well. It's seen as a significant pool of money. Landfills contribute about 78% of the money that goes into the Environmental Management Fund. And, you know, when you've got $70, $80 million, it's looked at quite with longingly by policymakers.
Oh, absolutely. Amanda Heffley, I'll go to you. Do you think that recycling funds or this environmental management account is, do you get the sense that it's kind of easy pickings, like they might be picked on a little bit more than other parts of the state budget?
I do, just because it's such a large fund. And it's money that's coming in yearly, weekly. You know, it's always there.
It's stable.
Yeah, it's stable.
Mm-hmm. And Melissa Johnson, is this... Does recycling get picked on by both parties more so than other funds? And I'm leading you to the next questions. So.
Well, I can't answer that with a huge amount of certainty because
right.
I haven't tracked a lot of other funds. So in general conversations with folks from like forestry or parks or highway, those funds have been diverted. Again, monies that are assessed on you know, fees for licenses and permits and those types of things. Again, they go into segregated funds.
Mm-hmm.
The state constitution says that all monies delivered to the state, whether it is through fees or taxes, is the property of the state, and therefore they are at liberty to use that how they wish.
There is an exception, though.
There is.
There was an exception just passed recently, a constitutional amendment to basically put state road funding, highway funding, in a lockbox. Is there a chance that there'd be a ever be a constitutional amendment to protect the state's segregated recycling fund, the Environmental Management Fund?
I can tell you that right now there's a group of waste reduction and recycling professionals that is meeting, that are meeting, and one of the things that we're looking at is what would that look like for recycling. So it's in its very preliminary stages. The group is called Future of Wisconsin Recycling Development Forward, and people from across the state, from large waste haulers to small waste haulers to landfills to recycling organizations. And so we are having that discussion. You know, what would that look like? How would we garner support? Would there be negative consequences, positive consequences?
Would there be the political will, I guess, is one of the questions. And do you have a barometer for that yet?
We do not. But typically what we hear from legislators on both sides of the aisle is that there's a huge amount of support for recycling. Again, because we like to do it because we know it's the right thing to do. It makes us feel good. It also, there's this innate understanding. It will reduce emissions. It will reduce energy inputs in making new products. But there's a beginning to be an understanding that Wisconsin industry actually benefits by a strong recycling program. Thousands and thousands, tens of thousands of people are employed via either recycling directly or as a byproduct, let's say at paper mills or foundries. And if they have trouble finding the feedstock, let's say old tin cans or old newspapers or cardboard boxes, their costs go up because they have to look for other sources that are going to be farther away. So I think we can build the political will. It could take some time.
With that, I'm going to put another call out to listeners to join the conversation. We're talking about recycling aids to local government and a cut planned in Governor Scott Walker's biennial budget. The number is 800-228-5615 to get your thoughts in on the discussion. I'm joined by Amanda Heffley. She's the recycling coordinator for Eau Claire County and a recycling specialist for Dunn County. And Melissa Johnson joins us by phone. She is the president of the Associated Recyclers of Wisconsin, also director of Marathon County Solid Waste in Ringel. 800-228-5615. So it's a tough sell. I mean, whenever the state budget goes through and the purse is tight, it's everybody, you know, I've been watching these joint finance committee meetings and everybody is pleading for some money. How do you, and I'll start with Melissa Johnson, then I'll go to Amanda and see if she's got anything beyond to add, but how do you argue for cuts, for your cuts to be spared, you know, to the recycling programs when public K-12 schools are feeling cuts, UW system is feeling cuts? Does that weigh in your mind when you're making these pleas to lawmakers?
This budget cycle, it truly did, I'll be honest with you. You know, compared to family care or senior care or the cuts to K-12 and, of course, the detrimental cuts to UW system, these are all very important things for Wisconsin families and Wisconsin communities. But we go back to how this program is funded. It is a mandate. We don't want to see the mandate removed. So we've assessed this fee or this tax at landfill. So that's where we have to go back to. We've generated that money for the purpose of making sure we can capture these recyclables, keep them out of landfills. So it is a reasonable argument, even in the midst of all of the controversy and issues associated with this budget. We go back to that funding mechanism and the original intent of the legislation and focus on that.
And Amanda Heffley, at a local level, do you have a chance to advocate maybe to state lawmakers? And if so, how do you make the case for this, what some people think of, you know, in the grand scheme of things, a small cut spread statewide when there are larger cuts, you know, to different departments, different parts of the state?
Well, locally here, it's not just a cut to our recycling program. It's, you know, cuts to hazardous waste program, which then affects the waters programs here. Our medication program, maybe that's another cut we might have to look into. So it's not just affecting recycling here. It's affecting all these little programs, brush disposal, illegal dumping. Are all these things going to increase now that we can't focus on these programs like we have in the past? So it's a little worrisome. And when you engage the public or engage lawmakers, you need to let them know that it's not, hey, we're not going to be able to just have a curbside drop-off for a week. It's all these other programs that are going to affect the public and the public health.
We've got another caller on the line. We're going to go to Chippewa Falls. Patty's on the line. Thanks so much for calling in. What's on your mind?
Yes, good morning. I just wanted to take a little broader look at this. And I think that it is another example of Scott Walker's and the Republicans' party philosophy of privatizing everything. Now, some of those ideas I agree with, and perhaps even recycling, passing on the cost to the consumers. And I don't, buy that for everything. However, the bottom line is there has to be a living wage to pay the increases in costs of everything, higher tuition, all the things he wants to cut, recycling, wanting more fees. And, of course, that is, to me, a no-brainer that his party and Governor Walker is against. And so I don't see how we're going to get the political will to preserve things like this when that very large philosophy is coming down on all of us pretty drastically.
All right.
And I'll listen off the air.
Thanks so much, Patty, for your thoughts. That brings up a really interesting point and a really interesting discussion here. Privatization versus county or city-owned services. And where I'm from, Superior, Wisconsin, the garbage and the, to the best of my knowledge, recycling is handled by the city. What's the state? What's the case for Eau Claire and or Dunn counties?
So here in Eau Claire County, we have private haulers pick up curbside recycling, and then the recycling, the county then regulates what the curbside haulers pick up.
Sure.
We can't afford to have our own fleet of trucks and recycling and bring it to a MRF or somewhere. So we do that privately. There are other programs that if we did privately, I don't think it would be cost effective.
Like what?
Probably the brush disposal program. Residents pay a very small fee for that in their taxes every year. But if they had to do that privately, I don't know how many residents would utilize it maybe if they had to pay per drop-off or a yearly fee that's more than maybe a dollar a year.
Mm-hmm.
So it can get quite expensive if things are privatized. I think keeping it in the county or in the public, they can see where their money's going and what it's used for.
Right.
And we can make it a little cheaper with more people.
And is Dunn County, do they do it private? Do they have a private contract too?
It's done both. So curbside service in Dunn County is private.
Okay.
But we do have drop-off collection stations that are run by the county.
All right. And I'm Lisa Johnson, more of a statewide view. Would you say that more municipalities do this contracting with private companies than not?
I don't have the numbers, so anything I'd say would be speculation. But
okay.
Just from observing, I do believe there's a higher number of contracted services for municipalities, and only a smaller number of communities that have their own staff and their own fleet of trucks for collection. So, and communities will hire either an independent hauler like Hilltopper out of La Crosse, or Box Sanitation out of the Eau Claire area, or our Advanced Disposal or Waste Management.
Mm-hmm.
That's more the norm for collection services.
And is one more inherently cost-effective or costly than the other?
Again, I would be speculating on that. Typically what we've found is there is a pretty direct comparison. It's not in a community's best interest to have high costs, so they do try to keep those collection costs down by doing similar things like having good routing where you're not, having that truck run too often or, crossing too many paths, that type of thing.
We're talking about recycling and cuts that are planned at the state level for local recycling aids. The number to call in is 800-228-5615. I'm joined by Amanda Heffley of the Eau Claire County she's the Eau Claire County Recycling Coordinator and Recycling Specialist for Dunn County. Joining us by phone is Melissa Johnson, President of the Associated Recyclers of Wisconsin, 800-228-5615. Amanda Heffley, I want to ask you, we're talking about this $4 million. It's a kind of a vague number. What percentage does Eau Claire County or Dunn County get from the state as far as total costs for your programs?
It varies depending on the program. Here in Eau Claire County, every municipality is underneath our responsible unit. So I take care of all the municipalities to make sure recycling is done correctly. Mm-hmm. In Dunn County, not all of the municipalities decided to go underneath the county's RU. So some of the smaller municipalities are doing their own recycling thing and getting their own funding for that. I can specifically say here in Eau Claire County that we get about just under half of our funding from the state to run our program because of the way we're set up and how we collect money from residents and on haulers and dole it out. I can't specifically say for Dunn County because I don't really work on the budget there. I do more of the education and outreach types of things there.
Okay. And is there, Melissa Johnson, is there any kind of I'm sure it varies wildly community to community, but is there a general rule, maybe, 10, 15, 20% of funding comes from the state?
That's a pretty good rule of thumb. When communities were receiving that approximately $30 million or sharing that $30 million, it was actually funding about 28% of the costs of operating an effective recycling program. So doing the education, the outreach, enforcing your ordinance, and then providing collection services in one way or the other. Given that we've had significant cuts, 50 to 60%, we're down to 15 to 18% of actual costs being covered. And I just want to comment here is, a lot of folks will go, recycling was supposed to pay for itself if those materials are so valuable.
My next question.
Yeah, I figured you were going there. I jumped on it before you got there. But here's where the significant amount of the costs are involved. And you would find this whether you're Walmart or whether you're trying to collect recycling, and that's in transportation. So picking up those source materials from your house, Amanda's house, my house, all requires a truck, which costs about $250,000, a driver, and I'm assuming that driver does not work for free, and then all of the things that go with it, insurance and fuel and licensing. So the transportation infrastructure, getting the materials from their source, your house, whether it's your house or a business, and then getting them to an aggregating point where they're sorted and then sent off to a mill or a foundry, that's where a lot of the costs are embedded.
All right. We've got a caller on the line, and this call comes from Rice Lake. Gary is on the phone. Thanks so much for joining us. What's on your mind?
Hello. Thank you for taking my call. I'd like to explain what my city, Rice Lake, has done with a novel recycling program which combines both the public sector and the private sector. First of all, we're in Barron County, and Barron County has an incinerator, one of the few in the state.
Yeah.
So all of our garbage picked up by all of the haulers in the county comes to the incinerator where it's burned, and we reduce what's going to the landfill about 90%. That incinerator then sells steam to an adjacent cheese-making plant, and what they don't sell there, they generate electricity and sell to the utility.
Mm-hmm.
So the county is handling it very well. Rice Lake is even better. They have a public-private partnership with our local waste haulers here. We have two cans for curbside recycling. One can is garbage that gets picked up each week. The other can with a different colored out top gets picked up every 2 weeks. We put all of our recyclings in that recycling can. We mix in paper, plastic, aluminum, anything which can be recycled. When that gets picked up, then it goes to the private haulers' facility where they have people who on conveyor belts do the sorting mm-hmm. into the various recycling streams. And the billing for that is handled by the out city, which adds a recycling fee to our sewer and water charges every 3 months. So the city takes care of the billing. The private company takes care of all of the recycling, and we don't have to depend on them out DNR funds.
Very good. Well, thanks so much for the call, Gary. We appreciate it. Melissa Johnson, any thoughts on that? I mean, the incinerator is a fairly unique situation, but beyond that, what's your thought on the Rice Lake situation?
Well, first I would back up that Barron County does use the incinerator, and it's a great program.
Mm-hmm.
I would not call that necessarily recycling, but a beneficial reuse of the materials. In other words, to make energy. So there's a little bit of a difference. Barron County actually does receive money via the recycling grant. I'm looking at it right now. Their 2014 grant was just shy of $80,000. So they do have some support from the recycling fund. So, La Crosse County also has an incinerator, and they're able to take some of the recyclables of higher BTU value, like plastics, and send them to the incinerator as a means of producing electricity in a beneficial way.
Okay. Well, let's take our final break. We're getting close to the top of the hour. We're talking about a proposed $4 million cut to state recycling aids that go to local governments to help pay for the recycling programs that we all know. The number to call in is 800-228-5615. I'm joined by Amanda Heffley. She is the recycling coordinator for Eau Claire County and recycling specialist for Dunn County. And Melissa Johnson is the president of the Associated Recyclers of Wisconsin, and she is the director of Marathon County Solid Waste. 800-228-5615. We'll be right back.
Support for WPR comes from the Port Washington Tourism Council, welcoming Discovery World's tall ship, the SV Dennis Sullivan, to port this weekend. Daily deck tours and sailing opportunities. More info at visitportwashington.com.
Support also comes from HSHS Sacred Heart in Eau Claire and St. Joseph's in Chippewa Falls, dedicated to offering health tips to encourage exercise as part of everyday family life. More at GoChippewaValley.com.
You're listening to The West Side on Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Rich Kramer. Thanks for joining us. We're talking about recycling aids and a proposed $4 million cut going to local governments. I'm joined by Melissa Johnson and Amanda Heffley. The number to call in, 800-228-5615. We can probably squeeze one, maybe two more into this hour. What do you think about recycling? Are you bananas about it? Give us a call. Let us know to what extent you recycle, or are you concerned about these cuts? Let us know. 800-228-5615. According to trends noted by the DNR, they do some studies on this, overall recycling is down since 2010. Back in 2010, it was around 720,000 tons being recycled. And in 2011, and beyond that, the number fell to like 650,000 tons. So it was a noticeable decrease. Now it's starting to creep up. In 2013, it was back towards 700,000 tons. Melissa Johnson, what's your take on that?
There are, and again, we've speculated on what some of those differences are. Wisconsin's recycling program, its success is based on weight. So there are a couple of things that can contribute to lower volumes. Number one, we were still rebounding from the economic decline of 2008 and 2009.
Mm-hmm.
People were buying less durable goods, therefore less cardboard packaging. People are also buying less newspapers and magazines and going with the electronic version, so fewer numbers there. And then we see what's called lightweight packaging, and we see that in our soda bottles, our beverage bottles, and they're using a much lighter product with less weight. So, and then, unfortunately, we do have some declines just in general with people not recycling and communities unable to enforce the recycling law because they simply don't have the staff to do that.
Right, yeah. The top official with DNR said some part of it was due to the cuts in the aids. And
yes.
At the local level, Amanda Heffley, have you noticed recycling? Did Eau Claire County follow these trends? Do you track that?
Yes, I do track that, and I give these numbers to the DNR every year. And I'm happy to announce that in Eau Claire County, we have increased our recycling by quite a bit every year, especially in the past 3 years. We've changed our programs lately, so we've been able to collect more material. So that's also led to the increase of recycling here in Eau Claire County. And in Dunn County, our numbers have stayed about the same. We haven't really gone up. We haven't really gone down. They've been about the same in Dunn County.
And as far as the budget is concerned, Melissa Johnson, there is more to it than just this $4 million cut, is there not? As far as to the impacts to the world of recycling in the state?
Absolutely. There's two really important programs that we in the industry have come to rely on, and I think many people in Wisconsin have come to rely on. One of them is UW Extension's Solid and Hazardous Waste Education Center. It has been funded by the recycling fee historically. It's about $400,000 a year to fund this center. They had 32,000 downloads last year of resources from their website, everything from, you know, how to do backyard composting to templates for, you know, recycling education outreach material for communities that don't have the staff to develop that. And so, again, an incredible resource for Wisconsin and Wisconsin residents and businesses and municipalities. The other is the UW Solid Waste Research Program out of UW-Madison. Again, this program has been funded by the recycling fee, and it's been in place since 1990. This program gives grants to undergraduate and graduate students and faculty to do waste reduction and recycling research. Much of it is very important research. For instance, one researcher examined how coal ash could be used to help build roadways and stabilize those roadways in unconsolidated soil. So very important research on how we can divert more materials from landfills into productive use. That program was only $155,000 and provided dozens of grants annually to students.
Amanda Heffley, as for the first program that Melissa mentioned, the Solid and Hazardous Waste Education Center, is that something that folks in your position, recycling coordinators, goes to, or is that more for citizens?
Oh, no, I definitely utilize the resources. You know, if I have a customer come in or a business, I want to recycle this, I don't know how to get rid of it, I'm one of those 32,000 downloads that go on their website to see, you know, where the markets are and what's available in the area. And I'd also like to add, I was one of those amazing recipients of one of their grants when I was in college to do research on electronic recycling at the University of UW-Stevens Point. And the stuff that I did there is still going on, and they're now reducing their amount of electronics going to the landfill. Obviously, they can't go to the landfill at this point anymore, but, you know, it's just there was a lot of really great work coming out of those programs. And it's definitely utilized by municipalities like myself. There's a bunch of composting workshops that they had that I've utilized in the past, and now I'm teaching our residents how to compost.
Yeah, I have to mention, I too am a recipient of a UW Solid Waste Research Grant when I was an undergrad.
Mm-hmm.
And Melissa Johnson, you and I spoke before, and you mentioned that this cut to this education center, the Solid and Hazardous Waste Education Center, might impact, you know, small communities that have to let go a recycling coordinator person, you know, where they might just throw a city clerk into that position or something like that?
Absolutely. SHWEC, as the acronyms are, has provided, again, those 32,000 downloads. And again, think about one of those downloads for a small sort of semi-rural municipality that the clerk is now obligated to run the recycling program. And some of these clerks are very part-time. That one download probably went out to 500 residents.
Mm.
So it's an incredible resource, or has been, and again, a very small amount of money, $400,000 funded fully through the $7 a ton. And it's gone now. These were highly trained professionals that provided great resources for Wisconsin. Not only Wisconsin residents, but their businesses. They've been working on waste diversion projects for businesses, saving businesses tens of thousands of dollars a year.
Let's go back to the phones. This will be the final call of the morning, but we go to Dave in Eau Claire. Dave, you're on the air. Thank you so much. Are you there, Dave? Are you there, Melissa?
I
I am.
Oh, we lost Dave, I think. Well, he had a concern or a question about the Department of Natural Resources. We don't have time to get into that right now. But so this all has to do with tipping fees. This $7 that is charged at the landfill that goes to these environmental management programs, including recycling. When I think the last time the tipping fee was increased was 2009. I could be wrong on that, but is it time for it to be increased again, Melissa Johnson?
I would say absolutely not. Bear in mind that the biggest user of Wisconsin landfills tend to be Wisconsin municipalities. If you talk about adding on an additional fee to support recycling because the money has been diverted for programs not related to recycling, all you're doing is double and triple taxing our Wisconsin municipalities.
Okay. Would you agree with that, Amanda?
Wholeheartedly, yes.
Wholeheartedly. All right. Now I'm going to try the phone again. I think Dave has called back. Dave, you're on the air. Thanks so much. And if you could be brief, we'd appreciate it.
Yes, thank you. I had a chance to work with both Melissa and Amanda when I worked with the Department of Natural Resources, and I just wanted to thank them for their service to the people of Wisconsin. And I think it's really important that we maintain these positions because we need to keep shining a light on the importance of recycling, and our political leadership probably isn't doing that as enthusiastically as we'd like to see. So, again, thank you, Melissa. Thank you, Amanda.
Thanks, Dave.
Thanks, Dave. It's good to hear your voice.
Thank you very much, Dave. We appreciate the call and appreciate you trying back after we lost you. That pretty much does it for calls. We've got about a minute left, and I'm going to go round robin. What does the future look like for recycling in Wisconsin locally in Eau Claire and Dunn counties? Is it bright? Is it gloomy like the skies outside? Amanda Heffley.
I always like to look on the bright side of things. I think, you know, this might be a small dip in the road, but eventually it'll go back up, and recycling will go back to where it was.
All right. Mm-hmm. And Melissa Johnson, more of a broad view. What is your take?
Well, I tend to think strategically and in the broad stroke, and I really think this group, the Forward Group, coming up with concepts and ideas for creating greater efficiencies, allowing for protection of the recycling fund, and other options, working on a broad political level, that's what I'm hoping we can accomplish and keep a vibrant, sustainable recycling program in Wisconsin.
All right. Thank you so much, both of you. That is our time. I'd like to thank my guests. Amanda Heffley is the recycling coordinator for Eau Claire County. She's also the recycling specialist for Dunn County. Thank you very much. Melissa Johnson is the president of the Associated Recyclers of Wisconsin, or ARRO, and she also directs Marathon County's Solid Waste Program. Thank you very much to both of you. I'm Rich Kramer. Have a great week. We'll be back next Monday morning.